as I was watching this movie, over and over again, two words came to my lips. Unbidden, even, as I sat there shaking my head at the screen. They were, fuck that.
Yeah, I love that. And I also had another one that's going through my head a lot. Assholes.
What, you mean how they would be frozen shut?
Well, that too.
That too.
Yeah, like, you know, they did, God did everything except put a giant sign on this thing. Don't climb at this.
It is a giant sign. It's like, if you go past this point, you can't breathe.
That seems to be a pretty clear indicator that this is a terrible idea. We are, of course, talking about the new film Everest.
About the mountain.
Yes, about the mountain and the movie named after it. Although, as you pointed out earlier, Bo, Everest was named over a guy.
It's been there literally longer than any human being, but of course, it's known as the name of the first white guy that saw it. I'm sure the Nepalese name for it now translates into Mount Dickhole.
Yeah, or stupid what dead white people. I know this is terrible because this is a human triumph. But,
is it?
But like, is it? I feel human triumph when I watch something like The Imitation Game, you know, where I'm like, oh, that was like, you know, in front of like impossible adversity. This is like, there is no reason to climb Everest.
No.
There is like, not a cure for cancer up there.
People already beat you there. And not only that, it's like, you know, now any schlub who's got a little bit of mountaineering experience and 60 grand a drop can go up there.
Well, that was back in...
and die.
Back in, wait, when was this movie?
Yeah, that was $96. Wait, so now it's probably more like...
What year?
96.
How could you tell?
Because they told you a couple of times.
It's 1996.
Because of the shit that everybody is wearing.
That's what I'm saying. The Dole Kemp campaign shirt.
Yeah, there's no there's absolutely no cell phones in here, of course. And yeah, the hair is bad. It really takes you back.
Despite the screen telling you in the intro crawl that one out of every four people who had climbed Everest for several decades had died, not great odds. In other words, what are you, an idiot?
Yeah.
Apparently, like, I guess better technology and what have you lowered those odds or raised those odds so you had a better chance.
Well, yeah.
To the point where groups were starting to form up, expedition groups to take, I mean, not total amateurs, but like, you know, by comparison, amateur climbers and help them be able to climb Everest.
Not like professional explorers like Edmund Hillary, the first guy who got up there.
No.
But you know, people are like, hey, I've climbed Mount McKinley and I've climbed K2. I think I'll try my hand at Everest since that's, you know, that's the big one, the big guy,
the big daddy,
because it's there.
Because it's there. Yeah, the famous line.
And then you'll get laid a few extra times.
But yes, but also you have to realize that that mountain is there, but so are a lot of corpses upon it, which they literally cannot bring down. And so, like, if you die on Everest, they don't ship your remains back to your loved ones. They're like, well, he's up there. If you ever want to visit, book a tour.
Yeah, down at the very first base camp, there's boulders everywhere with metal plates drilled into them with, like, in memoriam of guy who we're never going to go again. But you might see him on your way up.
Well, I've kind of wondered, now with selfie culture, do people take snapshots with the corpse sickles on the way up, just like,
yeah, I can't imagine that. Snap. That's not like, you know, because people are awful.
But this is based on a 1996 climb and a disaster where, even though there's a very narrow window of time that's considered ideal to climb Everest, like right around the middle of May, and Jason Clarke plays Rob Hall, a New Zealand group leader who is...
He's the guy who kind of came up with this whole concept of like, okay, you get professional mountaineers, and then they escort the tourist, if you will.
Right. And, you know, he is considered to probably be the best at it at this point. He's done the ascent many, many times. And except, you know, it starts off here with He's 5 days from retirement. No, wait. No, sorry.
he's too old for this shit.
His wife, Keira Knightley, is pregnant with his child, and they're trying to time it so he'll be back in time for the birth.
Meanwhile, yeah, they're pretty heavy-handed. It's like, you know, at the scene at the airport, she's like, you gotta be back here for the birth. He's like, you know, wild horses couldn't keep me away. But, you know, maybe that big mountain I'm gonna climb will.
Then you have Jake Gyllenhaal as a sort of, like, another team leader who's a little bit more of a surfer boy type.
Yeah, and, like, I gotta say, I'm kind of like, you could excise his part completely from this, and it wouldn't make a difference. And I think Jake Gyllenhaal just kind of read the script and was like, well, this'll show a little bit more of my extremely vast range as an actor, I'll go play this guy.
No, I think it was more like, sweet, snow vacation.
right. But then you have a whole team of various people who are going up here for their own reasons. John Hawks plays Doug Hansen, a guy who's tried before to make Everest and didn't make it, who's good friends with Rob Hall, and, you know, he's getting too old for this, quite frankly, but he realizes it's probably his last shot and he wants to make it to the top. You've got Josh Brolin as Hubris.
No, as Texas.
Texas. The Texas-y Texas guy who says Texas things all through this. Whose dick is bigger than everyone else and he wants to make sure you know it.
Yes. See, when I say fair to Midland, I'm trying to be an asshole. but they just threw that out all the time.
And there's lots of other, you know, recognizable actors in here, and some not so recognized. A lot of other climbers up there.
I mean, you know, there's a lot of talent here. You know, Sam Worthington, for some reason.
Right, who still, even in the one, like, really emotional scene in this movie, still can't make a different face.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't do it. You see him trying and straining.
He
and
really
nothing.
Is. I think he, like, after the Terminator, like, the real Sam Worthington probably died in that, and now he's just a robot who's confused as to these emotional things.
He was, don't fool yourself. He was always confused.
Emily Watson and Robin Wright are the two other lead female roles, which mostly consist of like crying.
Yeah, and looking
because
worried.
They're not up on the mountain. Emily Watson plays the leader of the base camp, and Robin Wright is Josh Brolin's character's wife.
Yes.
And she's like back in Dallas. You know, when things go awry, she does what Dallas wives do.
She turns on the Texas
and starts calling every politician in the world saying, you better get my damn husband back.
Well, don't forget, she also plays the Angel of Restoration.
Yes.
I think the best way to sum up this movie is by like giving an actual quote from the film, where Rob Hall says, and I said, does anyone understand anything anyone's saying?
There's a lot. Yeah, there are some. And it may have been the theater, you know. We went to go see it in the fake Max.
Yeah, the IMAX.
Yeah, the IMAX theater. Here in Austin, which
still,
is not really an IMAX theater.
But still, the sound quality, there are plenty of parts where aren't up on the mountain. You're like, no, it sounds great.
There's some editing that needed to be done, where they were obviously like, okay, we need to make sure everybody knows we're having a huge storm here and winds are blowing.
It was like watching that,
understanding the dialogue.
It was like watching Bane in the trailer Dark Knight Rises all over again.
Well, and that's another thing, like, everybody's wearing a fucking oxygen mask.
Yeah.
So you're just like, okay.
And, you know, the plot here, they tell you in the trailer, hey, they make it to the top. And then a big storm
just the top?
Yeah, just the top.
Just the tip.
and then a big storm comes, and uh-oh, how fucked are they?
No, it was Fog Monster from Lost.
It looked kind of like the Fog Monster from Lost. But, you know, I mean, this is not a disaster film. It's not an action film. Walden.
No, it's not a disaster film because disasters are unavoidable.
Yeah, true. But in the sense of, like, you know, the pacing and the way that the beats that it has, it's neither one of those things. It's a Walden Media film, which means that it really is trying to be like, well, no, this is what really happened. And that's great and all.
Yeah, but.
But boy, does that make the pacing move at a, if you'll excuse the term, glacial pace.
Yeah, I mean, they're literally kind of showing almost every step up this mountain. And yeah, after a while you're just like, well, I get it. Maybe we should get to that part where everything fucks up.
You know, and I think that, I guess I had a problem with it. Like, what we most know about these characters, either A, who they'd leave behind if they died, and B, why they climb mountains, none of which hold a drop of water with me. There's even a scene where, you know, the journalist from Outdoor Magazine who's going up the mountain with them, played by Michael Kelly, and he's asked, so really, no, seriously, not just, don't give me just the because it's there, why? And, like, they try and give you some meaningful answers, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not buying any of this.
Yeah,
I think you have psychological problems if you want to climb Everest.
They gave them the chance to tell, not show, and still couldn't do it.
Yeah. No, I that's true. And so, ultimately, all these characters, I just had no feeling of, like, empathy for their motivation.
It's hard because, yeah, they're not like, you know, if you go up and you touch the magic tip of Mount Everest, then five children will be cured of cancer or anything like that. It's just like, I'm doing this because it's, you know, this immense thing that's there that it, you know, it's the highest point in the world, and there I do understand the human urge, that you know, the very monkey urge of I'm going to climb the tallest tree.
Yeah.
But I feel it's hard for me to have a lot of, like, sympathy for that.
Yeah, I feel like killing people all the time. But nobody's going to say I'm a hero if I do it. You know, what? That guy was annoying. Sorry, I couldn't listen to Joe's friend blather on anymore. I know that to someone who does have this urge, who does get this instinct, they're going to find all this disrespectful, but ultimately when it comes to pure logic and reason, I'm sorry, but I go, I don't get it. If you do, and you really understand that urge, then sure, I can see you getting into this.
And don't get me wrong, I mean, I'm an outdoorsy guy, I like rock climbing, I like camping, and hey man, you know, if you've seen Into the Wild, you know, it's really easy to get killed if you go camping, if you're an idiot about it.
True.
But, you know, this is like, you know, that certain level beyond where you're just like, you know, like we said, literally, if there is a god, he pretty much is saying, don't fucking climb.
Yeah, yeah, with this, you're just being killed by sheer physics.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, which, you know, they even, you know, there's even a whole thing early on going, here's a list of things that easily could kill you on the way, which, of course, they run down that list as the movie goes on.
Yeah, everybody does a little, their little, every symptom is addressed. Dance.
Yeah, and I guess I just don't get that point. I mean, it's one thing, you talk about deep sea divers who go way, way, way deep because they're looking for rare life forms that could help us with biology. There's nothing they're going to find on Everest, you know? I mean, what, do you think this is going to be the tallest dinosaur ever up there or something? I don't know.
Well, okay, here's the thing. Maybe you guys haven't played Just Cause 2, but this movie made me want to play Just Cause 2 because it's basically the game.
Well, then it did some good.
And if you guys had known, like, there's like, special little drop boxes you can get only on the highest peak. So maybe they just done around.
It. It's just like, wait, when you get to the top, there's not like a boss fight or a really good loot drop? Fuck this.
Well, yeah, you know, we've been talking a lot of smack about this film because ultimately I think none of us understand that instinct. We just don't, and we don't identify
that,
with it.
That said, I will say, you know, that it's beautifully shot.
Oh, yeah.
And there, you know, there are some benefits to seeing it in IMAX in 3D if you want to, like, you know, if you're a sane human being, but you still want to get the impression of being up really fucking high.
Well, yeah,
this is a good movie for you to see.
It's gut-wrenching.
Yeah, no, it's just like, and I'm not, I've done my share of rock climbing, you know, I'm generally not too squirrely when it comes to heights, but once you get to a certain point above sea level, I'm like,
right.
No, fuck that. Right, there's a reason that your asshole puckers up and tries to shove itself into your small intestine when you see shit like that.
Yeah, you've watched Cliffhanger and you're okay with that height.
I'm fine with that because at some point I'm going to get a fight between Sylvester Stallone and John Lithgow.
Yep.
No, I loved you in Northern Exposure.
Why did you turn out to be so freaking conservative?
Yeah, I mean, it is beautiful enough that I'd say that alone, especially, and maybe just specifically, seeing it in an IMAX theater.
Sure.
Because, yeah, it is...
I don't know how it would carry off.
There's shot after shot of this mountain, and that is just like, damn, that is gorgeous.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've seen it as close as I need to.
Yeah, it's like, hey, thank you, National Geographic Society, for taking all those pictures.
I did think that it was quite cute that we were watching it in IMAX when that was the trip where the IMAX people that were doing Everest was on.
Yeah.
The one of the first questions I actually asked when I started watching it is, it's like, how much did they do on location? you know, because they obviously...
Since they were in Nepal, probably a lot of it was not actually on Everest, mind you, but it said that they were at the Everest base camp in Nepal.
Because you kind of, you're like, hey, we're shooting a movie about Everest on location. Hey, that sounds great. What's it about? Well...
This might reduce tourism. All right, let's go to final thoughts. Joe, what'd you think?
Luckily, because of Lubbock, I know what it's like to have that kind of cold that cuts through you because it's a major wind force. You know, it's just, Bernoulli is totally in effect. You know, it's just leeching heat off of you and just cutting straight through the bone. And that's like 1/100th of what they were actually doing and not having any oxygen to breathe either. I think that visually it really did convey what it feels like to be freezing to death.
Hmm.
Other than that, yeah, there was some thrills, some chills, and some spills, but they didn't wow me too much. And I know Brolin was supposed to be Texas, but his Texas just got old and annoying really quickly.
I just pretended he was W and I felt
better. I thought about that. All in all, I would definitely say that it's passable. I mean, as in you can pass on it. It's not a necessary watching experience in any way. Mm. So I'd give it a healthy 502 canisters out of 10.
Bo?
Yeah, this is like the second movie this week that I've seen that is telling a quote-unquote true story, and I had a little difficulty getting into just because it's like, well, it's a story, but it's not a story. It's a newspaper article, and that's fine. I think there are points of interest in this movie. Like I said, the cinematography is amazing. The scenery's great. Everybody does a really good job acting, even if they're kind of, like I said, it's just like, oh, it's Jake Gyllenhaal, and you're just kind of this ancillary character. All right. But you know, by and large, there wasn't anything particularly moving about this. I mean, you know, I felt a little bit for the characters just because, man, that's a shitty way to go. But yeah, by and large, I didn't walk out with anything sticking to my ribs, and I'm sure, you know, in about less than 6 months, somebody will say, oh yeah, that Everest movie, I completely forgot about that. I give it 5 fingers out of 10, which is quite appropriate.
You know, you guys are right. This really does feel like one of those old films that you would see at, like, a museum for IMAX.
Right.
Incredibly gorgeous cinematography that jumps out at you and has your stomach drop out. And then someone said, let's do the bare minimum effort to add a story to this. Because ultimately, like I said, like, the characters, like, Sam Worthington's character almost comes out of nowhere in this film. In the third.
It really is. When he shows up, you're like, wait, who's this guy? What?
Yeah, and Gyllenhaal, who is like, I have no idea why he's in this movie. Gyllenhaal.
Serves
no purpose in the plot of this film at all.
Other than, like, hey, you want to have a conversation, drink some whiskey? Yeah. There's Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, now, if it was like Nightcrawler and Kathmandu, that could have been better.
And towards the end, it almost felt a little bit like torture porn. You're like, okay, we get it. That character is going to die. You can cut away now.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm tired of watching them.
At some point, you just want somebody to, like, disconnect themselves from the rope and just hurl themselves over the edge. And that's kind of what I wanted this movie to do in the last half hour.
That was a cute thing that when they would, someone would plummet to their death, it was just kind of like jam being knocked off a pantry shelf.
Right?
Yeah, I was hoping they're like, oh, they're in IMAX, they're going to show somebody, like, fall fucking into a crevasse.
Follow them the whole way down.
I regret nothing! Except paying $60,000 for this death!
Oh, wait, I regret everything! Never mind! But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a better movie if we could hear it. If I watch this again, it will be with subtitles, and maybe I'll be like, damn, we missed the entire point of this thing.
This is really moving. Sucks about the wind.
But as it was, I gotta say, it was just a visual experience and that went on too long and not a heck of a lot more. I give it 5 out of 10 dudes who are gonna look like Voldemort after this.
Yeah, they sure are.